Greetings to you on this day. Welcome back to Thirsty Thursday. As we say, all who are thirsty, come and drink. Be filled up by the word of life, which we find in Jesus. Well, today I want to dive into Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. Again, this will be the text for the upcoming weekend, a text that we'll be preaching on. And as I unpack this in a little bit deeper level, I pray that this opens up those scriptures and that word that will be preached so that it can all take root in each of us in the way that God needs to and move us toward that full life that Jesus so often talks about. Well, I'm going to read the text first and then I'll unpack that a little bit. Mark 9, verses 30 through 37. Well, they went on from there and they passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. And then they came to Capernaum, and when he was on the way in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." I love this story because I often read it as though you're a parent driving in a minivan loaded with children, and you shout out to your kids what you want them to do. Of course, they don't ask any question because they're afraid to respond because you're getting agitated. And then you stop later on to ask them what they were talking about because you overheard everything that they were saying in the vehicle. And there's a little bit of silence when you start digging into that. It's fun to read the text in that kind of way, imagining yourself in that position. The disciples were afraid to ask Jesus a question when they didn't understand what he was saying, and then they were arguing about who's the greatest. A lot going on in that community. Well, again, as we heard last week, there's this passion prediction, and this is the second time that Jesus brings this up, that he's going to die and that he's going to be raised. Again, not uncommon for them to know what would happen to those who were speaking out and leading differently, loving differently, holding account to the powers of the day differently, but little would they have understood what it means for him to rise, to come back from the dead in a fully resurrected form. And so this was a head scratcher for them. The other thing is then, as they're arguing, and we hear that in this text, there's this reference to children. And a reminder that anytime you hear about children throughout the Gospels here, they were often considered weak and insignificant. They were not adored and valued like children are in our lives. They were considered kind of off to the side and to be ignored, a nuisance. They had a very low status in society. And so for Jesus to clear the way, to really look upon the children and to care for the children and to draw reference to the children here, this would have been a tremendous affirmation for those kids, and certainly a contrast from what the disciples had seen living there, growing up there, and even probably within their own family system. They were being trained anew, if you will. Well, as Jesus and his disciples here are passing through Galilee on the way to Capernaum, when Jesus makes this passion prediction, there's this, what should we say, for the disciples, it's not just a lack of understanding, but it's a whole new way of looking into the world and at Jesus himself. It's altogether new. And so don't think just Jesus is revealing these things as I'm going to clean up this little mess over here. I'm going to tweak this little thing over here. It was an altogether holistic worldview that was going to blow people's minds in essence. They will have never seen anything like this. And so the disciples are called to, in essence here, pay attention, to stay tuned and to live into that. And then again, as I talked about here, the disciples could so often be consumed with their own belly button, their own sense of looking at themselves. And that's what leads them to arguing about who's the greatest and how they're caught up in this power struggle and who's closer to Jesus than others. And Jesus just dismantles all of that by raising up a child here and shows that the powerless and expecting nothing in return, just loving those in your midst, loving those in front of you, that serving is the way through life. And so a theme here emerges in the text that there's leading through serving, not through power plays. And Jesus, in his passion prediction, he places a large emphasis on the cross. And by doing that, I think he's making a strong point that the path of discipleship is not easy. And at any time, it can challenge and stretch us. So as we read a text like this, as we try to read Jesus and really refocus in on who Jesus is, who the Messiah, the Christ is, then we engage at that point of being challenged and stretched. Where is it that Jesus is stretching us? Where is it that Jesus is challenging our previously established worldview or deeply held belief? And does the cross draw us further, draw us deeper? In essence, an awakening for our faith in some ways. And by Jesus taking the child in his arms, we're given a glimpse to the amazing power of the kingdom of God, where all are truly welcome. And at Grace, we often talk about all means all, right? And that all people are welcome, not just welcome, but full participants, full-fledged into the whole life in doing this life together. And we're reminded that as disciples of Christ, we're called to live this life of service, of laying down life for all. Giving freely with no strings attached. We don't just open up to give gifts with saying, but now I expect something in return. And I think that's the beauty in this is the kids here have nothing to give in return, right? They're simply just eyewitnesses. They're watching what's going on and Jesus pulls them to the center. But the kids can give nothing back for this grace and love that they're being extended. And how much more could that be true in our lives as we lead through serving? Just we do that not as a consumer, where you meet my needs and I'll meet yours. I'll give something and then you need to give something. It's more about this. No strings attached. I'm laying down life. I'm a full participant with. This is what it means to really live with the life that we've been given, leading through serving. And Jesus and his disciples, again in the text, they're on their way to Capernaum, which I think serves as a strong image for our journey with Jesus. We journey on the way with Jesus, knowing through the ups and downs of our daily lives that Jesus is there, holding us and surrounding us. Also, we see it through the gifts of community, the gifts of the church, the gifts of relationship. And we know then that we're never alone on the discipleship journey. So on the way, we're always on the way. I know I've been challenged by that throughout life to say, well, when do we arrive? When do we know we've accomplished it? When do we know we've been, quote, successful? You can ask all those things about life, right? About a relationship, about a job, about a mission, whatever it is. But it's not about the success. It's not about the arrival. It's about the journey and what's experienced on the journey. And isn't that the humbling thing about life? We can't predict everything. We don't know everything. in so many ways, we are held vulnerable in the grip of grace, in the grip of God, as we go out to do our best with what we got and where we are. But we don't know all the rest. And we don't even know how God's going to work all this out, all the suffering, all the pain, all the hardship in the world. We just don't know how God's going to work it out. But in the midst of that, we're called to put our trust on the way into Jesus, knowing that we're not alone. And so a few summary questions for you. I know it's much easier for us to accept the promises of the resurrection while maybe avoiding the demands of the cross. So how many times in your life have you tried to avoid the cross and just jumped ahead to the resurrection? Where has that happened? Number two, what do you need to change in your life so that you could truly journey on the way with Jesus? What do you need to change in your life so that you can truly journey on the way with Jesus? And how often have you given a gift or helped someone and expected something in return? What can you do to change the way that you experience that? And instead of participating in exchange, but to be all grace in all life? Is that a possibility for you to grow in that way? I know a story here for you. I've shared this along the way with a few, but when my mom had brain cancer, you know, she was diagnosed at 47 years old and she passed away at 48 years old. But when mom was first diagnosed, our prayers were that God would provide the healing, God would do the saving activity, that mom would be restored. And I think that's a very natural way that we enter into our prayers. God, you know, do this. And God provided mightily and greatly throughout her 10-month journey with brain cancer. And yet, when it came time when the doctors were talking to us near the end and saying hospice care was needed and those kinds of things, we changed our prayer. We didn't see God in the, quote, healing activity of the world, but we rather saw God in the healing activity of raising my mom to new life. And folks, that's a tough shift to make, especially in our grief, when we want to hold on to what we have. But I share that story for one of how our prayer changes, that conversation with God changes as we go, but also what we experience on the way. The journey in and of itself is meaningful. All that seen, heard, and experienced through the people that are relating, the people who are serving, the people who are loving, the people who are bringing a smile to your face, those who are lovingly administering the treatments. There is so, so much on the way. And that's not to be missed. And today I want to say that Jesus is there in that low place, just as Jesus is there in the celebratory place. But I think our God often wants to bend to those lowest places where there is the greatest need and the greatest hope that needs to be experienced, and remind us that right now we're powerless. So much is it feels powerless. But even then, God is still at work in us, God's kids, God's people. And that today in this text says it happens through the children, and it happens through you disciples, and it happens in the greater world. God is always going to be at work. And so how can we, again, refocus in on Jesus, read Jesus, who is Jesus, how's he speaking in these places, in these times, and on our journey, on the way with Jesus, how are we experience the life and working toward the life that he wants to bring to the world? And so this week, again, with the questions and the text, I pray this opens you up and it makes you more thirsty for being stretched in new ways by the cross and by the resurrection of Christ. All right, until next time, stay thirsty, my friends.